Blog Talk Radio.
About it, I started in the church as a little girl, 7 years old, and grandmother used to take me to church back in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I used to sing for the Lord, and I used to sing in the adult choir, and I loved the Lord with all my heart. By the time I was 9 years old, I was gung-ho, and my grandmother even said to me one day, she said, you know, baby, God's going to use you one day, and I didn't know what she meant. But I knew I liked the sound of God using me. By the time I was 11 years old, my mother and father and my five brothers and my little sister, we moved from Tulsa to California. My dad's job had transferred him out here. And by the time I was 12 years old, I found myself in the nightclubs in Los Angeles. My mom and dad used to go to the clubs on the weekends. They didn't know the Lord Jesus. And grandma wasn't around anymore, so we just quit going to church. I was in the nightclubs at 12 years old, and that was the worst place and the last place I needed to be. But I had a praying grandmother. By the time I was 13 years old, I had recorded my first single and began to open up for people like Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin, B.B. King, and Bill Cosby. I remember opening up for him one time, and things began to happen. Hallelujah. Things began to happen all around me. The devil had a trap set. He was going to set me up, because, see, I liked it. I liked the money. I was making a lot of money, and I liked the glamour, and I liked the applause, because that said, I love you. We all want to build it. Hallelujah. I didn't know that Jesus loved me. I didn't know it then. When I was 16 years old, I had had a baby out of wedlock, and by the time I was 17 years old, I left home and joined the cast of Hair, and I began to travel all across the country. I was making more money than my mom and dad put together by then, and things were looking pretty good. Then I was introduced to marijuana. Devil had a trap set. Next thing I know, it was pills. Pills to get up in the morning and pills to go to bed at night. Then it was the alcohol. And then I became very promiscuous and ran around with a lot of people I had no business being with. So one day I was introduced to cocaine, and I know that all drugs are a spirit, but this cocaine became my best friend. And I began to hang out with the devil, and I did everything that I was big and bad enough to do. And I'm not glorifying him. I'm just letting him know that I don't belong to you. Hallelujah. I've been set free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I went on for about 12 years of my life, and I traveled with people, and I worked with Chaka Khan and Rufus, and I worked with Captain and Tennille and all the people in the studios, and I was good at my job, and I was quick, and I could demand double, triple scale, and I went to work, and I was high every day. The devil was trying to kill me, but I had a praying grandmother, never turned a back on me. Hallelujah. One time when I was in Houston, Texas, I met a man there, and I was getting ready to go on the road with Chaka Khan, and there was a group going on the road with us, Heatwave, and they had a man working with them, and he was doing their lights, and I didn't know this, but I met him on the road, and he was a nice guy, and you never would know it to look at him, but he was also, not only was a light director, but he was a cocaine dealer. The devil knows how to really do it. So we began to be friends, and we began to date, I began to get all the cocaine I wanted for free. How many of you know it wasn't for free? But we came home, me and this young man, and we began to live together, and he was still selling drugs, and I began to make drops for him. I was dropping off cocaine and making a lot of foolish turns in my life, and my life began to do this spiral. Downward spiral. I was going to hell. Then I began to watch Christian television. I began to watch Dr. Frederick Casey Price. Hallelujah. No matter what time I went to bed on Saturday night, whether it was 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, somehow our eyes popped open at 8:30. Evidence. And I have to be honest with you. I used to sit there with my pre-rolled joints from the night before, and I used to fire up a joint and watch Dr. Price. And I used to kind of, you know, Dr. Price, you know how I am. I used to kind of make fun of Dr. Price. I said, well, just look at how a paint come by here. Hearing by the word of God, but faith came. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Just see. For about 2 years, I watched Christian television. I was in and out, and I bought a Bible, and I would throw away all of the paraphernalia to smoke crack with and to smoke free base, and we used to make it and make our own. I threw it all in the trash, and then I'd go get it again, and we'd get high. And one night, as I was getting loaded, I began to pass out, and my head hit the wall. Boom! And I began to slide down the wall, and as I came to, all of my bodily fluids were doing their own thing, and I was dying. But I had a praying grandmother, and I knew enough to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It wasn't a couple of days later that I was watching Christian television, and Grandma tells me she was laying on her face during this time, and she had been fasting for 2 weeks and just calling on the name of Jesus. Save my granddaughter, Jesus. I watched Christian TV one night, and it was as if God himself said, that's enough. And he rebuked the devil from me long enough for me to make an intelligent decision. And I said, Jesus, if you'll turn me back. I want to come home if you'll take me. Thank you. And I said, Jesus, I know you're real. If you'll just take all of this away from me, take all of the drugs, take them away, I'm tired. And I want you to know that instantly I was set free. Instantly I was delivered. Hallelujah. Glory.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram, and that was Helen Baylor. Oh, lifting up the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes you wake up and you think about your praying grandmother. You remember grandmother used to get up at 3, 4 in the morning. You wake up, what is grandma doing? And she praying all over you, and she anointing you with her anointed oil. And, you know, you feel a little irritated because grandma waking you up kind of because she ain't your space. But then you get to a point in your life where you miss your praying grandmother, you know. And so I kind of had that on my mind this morning, missing my grandma. So just missing her prayers, missing her wisdom, missing the idea of having her to say, Grandma, what you think about this? I think she was one of the wisest women on the planet. But all right, let's get into today's message. It's going to be about the art of letting go and surrendering. All right, family, let's get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence on this planet, and that is recognized on this line as God. Yes, that great spirit that many is known by many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So right now, I just want you to turn within and pay attention to the breath, breathing in through the nose, holding it to the point of vibration, holding it to the count of eight. And then I want you to release, family, release. Yes, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Letting go, the art of letting go, surrendering. And as we let go, I want you to just be real intentional about bringing in all of what the divine has for you today. So I want us to just take a few minutes and breathe in. As we become still, reminding you that there is power in the breath. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we begin to invoke and invite the presence of the one that is the one, calling on the power and the consciousness of the Most High God. Come, Holy Spirit. Invoking the presence of the consciousness of Christ, activating the presence of God, the presence of the consciousness in every cell in our body to move through and release the memory, the data, the pattern, and any information that got us to the place where we are now so that we can be free to move to that next level thinking, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and cleanse and renew us this morning, God. I'm asking you to come this morning and renew the right spirit in our mind this morning, God, creating us a new spirit, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to take away anything that is in the data, in the information, and in the pattern of the cells of our body that is keeping us from moving to that next level. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit. As I come before you today, Holy Spirit, asking that every word of my mouth, every meditation of my heart, God, oh, yes, will be so acceptable in that sight right now, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a fresh anointing upon each and every person under the sound of my voice today, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless our minds today, God. Renew our spirits, God. I'm asking you to open up your windows, your gates, your heaven, and pour out a blessing right now that it won't be room enough to receive it, God, that it will be pressed down and shaking, God, amplified and multiplied into more than we can ever think, ask, or imagine, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bless each and every one of our thoughts, God, that our thoughts will be your thoughts. God, I'm asking you to come and bless every word that is uttered from our mouth, God, that every word we speak will be the melodic sounds of you, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to give us the 2020 spiritual vision today to see in the visions that you have for us, God. I'm asking you to bless our ears to hear the melodic sounds of your voice, God. And so today, as we come before you in this collective consciousness of one, God, in the amplified space, knowing that all is good, we say thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for new ideas right now, God. Thank you for birthing a better version, a greater version of who we are in this right now, God, space. Thank you for birthing and rebirthing the presence of you as us in this right now moment, God, that we have released all that is no longer serving a higher purpose. God, I give thanks for surrendering to love this morning. As we release all that is no longer serving the champion that we're moving into to become very vocal and very visible, God, as we stand in the light and the greatness that you have so set forth for us, God, I just give thanks that the path has been created with ease, elegance, and grace as we step more into our authority this morning, as we step into our greatness, as we step in and walk into the knowing of who's and what we are, God. I just give thanks that we know who's and what we are in this right now moment, God, that we stand in our authority in the mighty consciousness, in the mighty nature, and in the mighty name of the matchless holy authority called you, Holy Spirit, we give thanks. And so it is. Amen, 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 amen. Good morning, family. You are tuned in to the Love Journey, another love experience. And we're going to be reading from the Science of the Mind, and today's Science of the Mind is talking about success, family. Yeah, success. The sweet smell of success. And I love this quote by Maya Angelou. She says, success is liking yourself. She said, it's even liking what you do and liking how you do it. I love it. I love it so much I got to repeat it. Success is liking yourself, liking what you do and liking how you do it. All right, now, well, I must be in success because I like me some Janine. I like what I do, and I like how I do it. Matter of fact, I like how it gets better and better every day and every way, girl. All right. Ernest Holm wrote a book called This Thing Called You, and on page 62 it says, if you wish to be successful, you must identify yourself with success. You see, the law of identity is a definite thing. That with which you mentally identify yourself sets up an image of thought in your consciousness, which tends to attract the situation with which you are mentally identified. What are you identifying yourself with today? You see, I come away from the Remarkable Woman conference with one powerful thought. Success is not something you chase. Success is something you become. Let's think about that today, family. As we move through our thoughts, one of the speakers said, baby, success is not what you chase. You're not chasing success. When you get to know and identify yourself, it's something you become. The science of the mind says there have been times in my life when I felt greatly successful. You see, these times are often marked with a warm, glowing feeling in my heart by allowing myself to embrace a moment of accomplishment. Come on, y'all. I have engaged my heart. Yet it is not just that I succeeded. It's usually the entire journey represented by that one moment of success that contributes to my glowing heart. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You see, they see your story of success, but they see the glory of your success, but they don't know that story, do they? They don't know what it took to get to that one day, that one moment. A few years ago, I trained to run a 5K race, you know, being a heavyset person who had never run much, who was about to turn 50 years old, made the idea of running a race truly feel like a challenge. But when the day of the race arrived, I was motivated and ready. However, when the first quarter mile, I twisted my left ankle and fell to the pavement. But when I got up, my ankle was in pain. Ooh, and swelling, and I was bloody from scraping my knee and my elbow. And I was so mad. Oh, I was mad. A part of me wanted to quit. Yet another part of me was reminding myself of how hard I had worked to train for that moment, and I persisted even in the face of my pain, even in the face of my injuries. And while I did not win the race, the terms of the time it took me, I still won the race. Crossing the finish line of that race was a key moment of my life where the thrill of persisting despite what had happened inspires me often to keep going when things get tough, to remember that moment. Even now, my heart warms with the same feeling is when I finish that race. Ooh, it feels good. It feels like success, the sweet smell of success. Today's affirmation is, today I finish what I start. Success is not winning in the race, but in accomplishing what you set out to do. Today I finish what I start. Success is not winning the race, but in accomplishing what you set out to do. Come on, y'all. That's some good stuff today. That's the reading of the Science of the Mind. I'm just going to re-quote what Maya Angelou said. It felt good to my body, warm to my heart. Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. Sometimes I think about my mom when she would get through cooking a good Sunday meal, and she would do her lips a certain way when she knew the food was going to be absolutely good. See, she used to make this great Sunday dinner. People who we didn't even know who was going to come by would stop by because they were looking to get some of my mother's collard greens, baby, because mama could shut down on some of them greens. But what was really interesting is the look on her face, and that real interesting energy that came from the cells when she knew an amazing meal. All right, baby. Go, mama. Go, mama. Go, girl. I'm going to get ready and move into what we're going to be talking about today, and it's called The Art of Letting Go, Surrendering. We're going to listen to Oprah for a minute, but maybe I'll play a song. I don't know. I feel like Kim cherished the moment. I like this song because it reminds me. I don't know. I feel a little nostalgic, huh? When I didn't have much in this living room that I'm sitting in right now, and I just had this Chase Lounge when I first moved in here. And I didn't take the white leather couch that I had spent $10,000 on because it was way too big to put in this living room when we moved out the house. And so we just had this Chase Lounge in here. And it was the Chase Lounge that I bought when I first moved into my first apartment. I still have that Chase Lounge. I just got it reupholstered. And you know what was interesting was when that first time I really paid a lot of attention to the words to this song, just a moment, Asia was about, she was going into sixth or seventh grade, and we were just sitting here talking. Asia's phenomenal. She's got one of the most brilliant minds on the planet. And sometimes sitting there and having conversation, and a song came out. On. We was listening to Kim's CD and Candace was lit and she was in my arms and we were talking, and it made me think about
cherishing the moment. Because, you know, even if we wanted to recreate the moment of anything that we remember, it could never be the same. No matter how even if we placed everything exactly like it was, that moment would never be the same. And so sometimes we think about how we need to become present in the moment. And so that's what this song always reminds me about, being present. And after listening to the words of this song, it made me think about being present when I was with my children, to be present, to look them in the eyes, when I was present with the people I love, to be present and look them in the eyes. So many times now we have these cell phones and computers. I have a girlfriend I love dearly, but baby, if she ain't always on that cell phone texting, talking, and typing on her computer while she with you, I sometimes just tell her, if you want to spend some time with me, you put that cell phone away, that computer, you go keep on. She be like, please, Janine, I want to be with you. You don't want to be with me. You want to be with that computer. I call her, she in love with that computer. I call her computer love. But we forget to be present. And so that's why this song reminds me, because she says sometimes we get so busy, even the clouds be in a hurry sometimes. Listen to the words while I prepare to bring Oprah on surrendering and letting go. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the art of letting go. You've tuned in to The Love Journey, a love experience with Janine Ann Ingram. And this is Kim right here. Cherish the moment.
Like this, so let's
That was Cherish Your Moments, Kim. You tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Yes, 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 yes. It always makes me think about being present because we can never recreate a moment. No matter how we put everything in that same space, it will never be the same. So today I leave you with the thought of being present in that right now moment. All right, we're going to be talking about Art of Letting Go, and I'm going to kick it off with Oprah. Her experience of letting go.
I remember thinking I wanted to be an actress, and my father saying, no daughter of mine is going to be laying on some casting couch. And my father, for years, I felt such shame about having brought shame to him by having a child out of wedlock that died shortly afterwards, but still the shame of it was there. So when my father said, no daughter of mine is going to be an actress, I just thought, okay, I won't be one. People doubt that your thoughts create reality for you. It doesn't. If you're just sitting around thinking I want something, it doesn't. But there's no question if the energy and the vibrational frequency is correct, is in sync with what is to come your way, that there is a space that you create that allows that to happen. And nothing more than The Color Purple explains that to me. That's what made a believer out of me. I read a review in the New York Times about The Color Purple on a Sunday morning. I got out of bed with my pajamas on, put the coat on over my pajamas, went to the bookstore to get the book after reading the review. I started reading it in the bookstore. Dear God, I'm 14 years old. Please tell me what's happening to me. That is my story. Oh my God, somebody else has this story? I go home, I finish the book that day. Before the bookstore closes, I'm back in the bookstore getting every book that they had, which I think was like 8 at the time. I buy all of those books. I hand them out to everybody I know at work. And I become obsessed, literally obsessed with The Color Purple. And I would walk across the Wacker Street Bridge just so I could run into people who had not read The Color Purple. I didn't have a book club, so any way I can get you to read it is fine. And I would pass out these books. If somebody said, no, I hadn't heard of it, well, I happen to have one right here. And I heard that they were going to be doing a movie about The Color Purple. They, with Steven Spielberg and Quincy Jones. And as it turns out, I start telling everybody, I'm going to be in that movie. I'm going to figure out a way to be in that movie. I get a call from a casting agent saying, we're casting for a movie called Moonsong. They called it Moonsong at the time. You're casting for a movie called Moonsong? You're sure it's not The Color Purple? Because I've been praying for The Color Purple. He goes, no, it's Moonsong. So I go to this audition on a day in Chicago where it was 72 below zero. So cold, they had ropes out to keep people falling down. I had a cold, sore throat, swollen, and it had wrapped my head. And it was so cold that when you walked outside, your eyelids froze. When I walked in there, I thought, oh my goodness, it is The Color Purple. Because I know every character. I've read the book. I read for The Color Purple, and not only am I reading, I'm reading like for a major role. They want me to read for Sophia. She's married to Harpo, and Harpo is my name, spelled backwards. So I think if that is not a sign from Jesus himself, I never saw a sign bigger than that. So I audition, I hear nothing. I ended up months later calling the casting agent saying, I haven't heard anything. He said, you don't call me. What are you calling me for? I call you. And we have real actresses who are auditioning for this part. Alfred Woodard just left my office, he said. She's a real actress. You have no experience. So I hung up the phone and I knew I'm not going to get the part. So I feel really terrible. I can't even believe this. I think this is a God trick. I think, well, God, what'd you do that for? Why did you take me to the audition, and I'm auditioning, and then there's a Harpo character, and then I'm not going to get it? So I think it's because I'm fat. So I go to this fat farm, and as I am running around the track by myself on a cold, rainy Wisconsin day, I start praying to God out loud, and I say, I don't get it. I really don't get it, God, but I know you do. I don't know if this is some kind of joke or what you're doing with me, but I thought you wanted me to have this part. And I want to be in the space where I can thank you for the opportunity, but I can't now. I can't. It's too hard. Please help me let it go. Help me to let it go. And I start singing, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Now, that song just spontaneously came to me. But when you first start to sing it, you really can't surrender. You're just saying, okay, I'm going to sing the song. I sang and I prayed and I sang and I prayed and I sang and I prayed and I cried. Until I could feel myself let it go and know you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. And at first I thought, you're going to be all right, but you won't be able to ever see the movie. You can't see the movie, but you'll be all right. And then I kept praying. I want to pray so I feel like I can actually go see the movie. And I will be able to bless Alfre Woodard in the role. That I'll be able to say, it's a good thing you got it. I want to be able to do that. And in the moment, I can say, I can now see Alfre Woodard. I can see that can happen. And I will be okay. My life will go on, and I will not be bitter, and I will not be angry, and I will not hold that, and I will not feel for the rest of my life, she got it and I didn't. I want to have that kind of peace. And in the moment that happened to me, somebody comes running out to the track and says, there's a phone call for you. And there was Steven Spielberg calling to tell me that I hear you had a fat farm. And he said, if you lose a pound, you could lose this part. And I ended up stopping at Dairy Queen to make sure I hadn't lost a pound. And the next day, I was in his office at Amblin at Universal Studios and got the part. I would have to say one of the fundamental turning points in my life was The Color Purple. Nothing has had a greater impact on me spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, in determining my path, because it literally changed my faith in that I could see it. It was real. It was real. All my life I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy. I had to fight my uncles. I had to fight my brothers. Girl child ain't safe in the family man. But I ain't never thought I had to fight in my own house. I love Harpo. God knows I do. But I kill him dead before I let him beat me.
I'll be over soon. Heaven lasts always.
Girl, you ought to bash Mr.'s head open and think about heaven later.
God can dream a bigger dream for me, for you, than you could ever dream for yourself. When you've worked as hard and done as much and strived and tried and given and pled and bargained and hoped, surrender. When you have done all that you can do and there's nothing left for you to do, give it up. Give it up to that thing that is greater than yourself and let it then become a part of the flow. And I have never wanted anything
as badly, as hard, as much as the color purple. And the wanting of it and then the surrendering of it is what taught me how to live in a space of letting go. You can dream this much, but God has a bigger dream. That the color purple is then setting you up for the national Oprah Winfrey show. I didn't know that at the time. So when I ask, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do this? The bigger question is, what would you, God, the universe, have me do?
Well, I'm tuned into the Love Journey, and today we're talking about the art of letting go. That was Oprah. Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? In yoga, if any of you have practiced yoga, one of the sanva is the deep relaxation where you integrate your practice. You allow the body to relax at a cellular level, revitalizing that central nervous system and easing the anxiety. And even if we don't practice yoga daily, you can deeply relax to maintain your energy flow and balance. But by allowing your body to be in total ease, you let spirit flow. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because sometimes we think we're letting go, but we're still holding on to the tension in our body. Yeah, God, I'm letting go and letting God. Yeah. But you're tense. You see, by allowing your body to be in total ease, you let spirit flow. Because remember, spirit only can do what spirit can do through you. A lot of us feel this underlying tension of guilt when we feel we are doing nothing. But by honoring your body and relaxing your mind, you learn to surrender. The universe wants to show up for you. Spirit has a divine plan for you. By relaxing, you release resistance and experience the knowing that there is no need to continue pushing and struggling against life. You see, I see so many of us pushing. I see so many of us struggling. I see so many of us think we got to take it and think we got to fight. And I hear people talking about fighting and struggle and taking. But when you truly learn how to operate in your gift, it just magnetizes to you. You begin to walk in your authority, doors begin to fly open, and people begin to call you. I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I had a feeling that this millionaire guy that we had went to class with was going to call him, right? And I said, you know, I got this feeling, blah, 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 and I was telling him about it. And my friend is a herbalist, and he does a lot of things with herbs, and he plants and does a lot of major things with plants and herbs. And he has assisted a lot of my friends in healing uterine cancer, breast cancer, all kinds of unforgiving, because my new word for cancer is unforgiving. So he's released a lot of stuff out of people's body, kidney failures, all kind of stuff, right? So this guy that we were talking about called him 2 days ago because, I didn't know he had been diagnosed with prostate, the unforgiveness. and he's a part of a company called TLC, and it was interesting that he called him for this alternative medicine that he wanted to take before he did anything else about what was going on with his prostate. And we were just talking about it. And so we began to talk about how once he started walking in his authority, how doors of people just starting to fly open. He worked with Minister Farrakhan. He's worked with Prince Asiel, who owns Soul Vegetarian. He's worked with Dr. Terry Mason. Terry Mason, if you're in Illinois, he's over at the state of Illinois' county health department. And just major people are starting to knock on his door. He doesn't do any advertisement. He doesn't do anything. People are knocking at his door. I remember when I first started going to my hypnotist, Larry, and we were talking. I said, how you get your customers? He said, I just attract them. He does no advertising, and he stays. His office is in a building where I know
it has to cost a lot of money, because on the north side, in the middle of the north side, where it costs $2,800 to rent a box. So I know he has this large, beautiful space. And so I asked him about, he said he just attracts his customer. So I started really studying the idea of how do you really allow and attract and magnetize. Well, everybody know Matthew 6:33. If you've been on this call, I've told you several times, that's what scripture came to me. Mastering yourself. But sometimes we get so caught up in the struggle, so caught up in the seemingly appearances of what happened, that we never get to the spiritual level of learning how to attract money, how to attract our divine love. Maybe we think we got to make it happen. We got to go take it. We got to go slam the doors open. When you truly honoring and walking in your authority, just walk past and the door open. And that's what I really want us to know, why surrendering is so powerful. Because when we keep operating in those kind of energetic expressions, we get to a point where you're going to be like, why, you know? And one day everything falls apart in you. Because I was one of those make it happen kind of people. I was one of those people, if a door is there, I can push it. If you gave me a little bit, I'll push the rest open. Oh, forget it. I'll just take it. That's the kind of person, because I thought you had to take success. I thought you had to go out there and struggle and work hard. And I did. And I made some major things happen. But then one day I couldn't push the door open if I tried. I couldn't push the door open if I wanted to. I used to say everything I touched turned to gold. I had the Midas touch, baby. I could get you done even when nobody else could. And let me tell you, one day I woke up and I ain't had no kind of touch. Nothing would move and nothing would... I was like, and I started to feel some kind of way, because I got so used to making things happen. I was used to picking up the phone. I could call, like, da 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 da. And days came when nobody would even answer the doggone phone when I called. What? Do they know this Janine? This Janine. This Janine. Do y'all understand this Janine calling? And it got to the point where, I had to sit still. And the more I started losing, the more I had to start releasing things, the more I gave in to the resistance of it. My husband always teased me. He said, you'll be on a boat with all these holes in it, and you'll be patching them up, talking about, we can make it, and everybody drowning. You're talking about, no, we can make it, and you still be patching up the hole. And I was like, he said, because you don't, he was telling, you got to just release yourself into this process. Release, I got to make it happen. And of course, I was resisting the idea of all the experiences I was going through. But what I learned is by relaxing and releasing the resistance, experiencing and allow the process to do what it do. And I had to realize that I couldn't continue to push and struggle. I started to just relax. I remember when we didn't get any more contracts at the company I was at. And I remember the day I was let go. I remember feeling hurt. I remember feeling devastated because I loved my job. I loved the money I was making. I loved it. Everything about my job, I loved it. It was just one of the most amazing experiences. And it taught me so much about myself. And I remember the CEO, when we were leaving the company, she was so devastated. I had to get everything out the office, organize everything, and pack up all the stuff that needed to go back to the Chicago Housing Authority, pack up those files to make sure everything was fine. She was so devastated, she couldn't do anything. But after closing the company and locking the doors that day, and I came home, I was deeply, deeply depressed about the idea that I had to let go of something I love and didn't know where life was taking me at that point. And we did a lot of talking. And I realized that I had to stop talking to her one day because she was causing me to stay in a fear mode. You see, she was causing me to, and so I had to learn how to take moments to calm myself and ease, because I didn't know how I was going to pay that Mercedes car note. I didn't know how I was going to continue paying tuition for my children who was in astronomical schools. And I didn't know how I was going to do a lot of things. And because I didn't know, it bothered me, because I wanted to know. And I remember laying in that bed, and I remember, God, what is faith? What is truly having faith? And I remember Spirit responding, trusting in the process of the unknown. And I remember tears starting to fall down my eyes. Well, teach me how to trust in the process of the unknown. Teach me how to melt my fears and worries away. Because, see, worrying is like praying for what you don't want. Instead of us taking time to worry, we got to spend time in surrender. And I said, God, if you could teach me how to surrender right now, teach me to surrender into the divinity, into the love. And so each day, as each day began, I began to surrender to the divinity. And as I would go through the day, I would give myself time to let my body function, release the stress. And so things like meditation, deep breathing, became my best friend. Because in my meditative state, there were times when I felt the oneness of the Spirit, even when I didn't know how the mortgages were going to get paid, even when I didn't know how nothing was going to get paid, even in the idea of months and months of behind, sitting in the middle of that bed, and when I was getting nervous because nothing was paid and I didn't know how I was going to get paid, and we had been months in, and the idea of becoming homeless was something I didn't want to happen. And then one day I said, but if homeless have to be a part of my experience, then let it be. And I'm so grateful it didn't have to become part of my experience. But I said, if I trust God, if I truly, truly, truly trust God, then why am I afraid to go through whatever I have to go through to get where I need to be, even if that meant homelessness? Even if that meant I didn't have nothing, if I truly trust God. Sometimes we ask for stuff. See, the problem is we pray for moving to the next level. I was praying, God, I'm ready to go to the next level. God, I got this thing going on. Yeah, I'm doing this thing right here. But I didn't know the next level means taking everything out of my life in order to strip me of what I thought I knew in order to be renewed for the next space. I didn't know that God was renewing me. I didn't know it was an answer to my prayers. You know, like, I know sometimes we pray, God, I want to love, God, and I just want to be loved. And so you're praying, and you got this great man in your life, but he's not showing up the way you want him. And you're praying for love, and you want this. And then next thing you know, he walks out your life. But you don't know that's the answer to the prayer, because you know, oh, you've been pushed into a new space. So like me, I had to be pushed out of my job, because I know I wouldn't be here right now if I had not got pushed out of my job. Because I wasn't going to let it go. I wasn't going to be like, oh, it's time for the next level. Let me leave that job alone, not knowing what was going on. No, not me. Mm-mm. The queen of making it happen. But what I learned from 2010 to 2017 is truly how to surrender in to the process, and that the universe was pushing me into a better place, and that pain was pushing me into my purpose. You know, that pain that I was feeling from not having a knowing of how I was going to pay what I was going to pay. I was telling my girlfriend, when I lost my American Express, I laid down like somebody had just taken my man away from me. Oh, my God, when my American Express left, I thought you would have, because I've had that American Express since I was 20-something years old. And I couldn't believe they had taken, and I couldn't believe it, because I had paid my American Express every month like clockwork. But because they had did a credit check on me, and that was the only thing I paid. When I ain't paying nothing else, I was paying my American Express, because I was in love with my American Express. It was crazy. I couldn't believe they was taking my American Express. Now, why? I don't understand why I was so devastated by the fact that they was taking my American Express. One, I paid them every month, and I ain't paid nothing else. I was paying my American Express. I was going to hustle to pay American Express. And I never was a day late on paying American Express. Wasn't many late. Matter of fact, I paid them early. Why did they take my card away from me? I ain't get it. And I laid down. And people's like, what's wrong, girl? Nothing. You would have thought Brinson had packed up his stuff and walked out the door and took the kids with him when I lost my American Express. But what I realized, why am I laying here worrying about an American Express? I had to surrender to the divinity within myself. I had to give myself permission to be stripped down, to be renewed and built back up. You see, it's a lot like the story of the river. If you go with the flow, you'll be brought where you are meant to be. But if you hold on to the branches, you'll be beaten up by the current. Sometimes we got to learn how to relax into the flow and creating the space in our life for spirit to come through. Deeply letting go on a cellular level allows the soul to heal itself. And I had to sit in silence and allow my soul to heal. I had to begin each day in silence and silence my mind, and then the healing began to take place. And in this process, my body and mind had to recalibrate, preparing myself to receive more. See, I've learned a lot better, not 100%, on how to receive. See, it was funny. People were buying tickets this weekend for my event on September 30th. People was coming up to me, and every time I had to trip my lips because people was like, well, what's your tickets? How you did the ticket? And sometimes I don't even know why. Oh, girl, don't worry about it. I had to hold my lips to make sure I didn't say, and give no tickets away because I wanted to be supported in paying for the hotel room, paying to bring the same out here, paying and not pay for it out my pocket. I did such a good job of receiving it. I was so excited because people was excited about the event, and they was excited to give me their money, and I had to be excited about receiving it, and I was super excited about receiving it. And I had to hold on to my lips because I want to give. You know, I'm just such a doggone giver. And I did such a good job, even though I didn't literally take my fingers and hold my lips, but I had to really process the idea of receiving. And I was so good, not all the way 100% like I should, because it shouldn't even be a thought to receive, right? But I was so much better. Thank you. My girlfriend dropped a couple of hundred in my hand on girlfriends I went to high school with, and I hadn't talked to her in a while. And she saw the ad, and she called me. I told her, come on through the Remarkable Woman Conference. And she said, yeah, okay, I'm going to bring the money for, I'm buying four tickets for four of us that went to high school. We're going to come and support you. And I was thinking, thank you, God. So I took that money and paid the hotel room because it was time to pay it up. But I'm saying to you, we got to learn how to relax, allow, and receive. You got to allow your soul to clear your energy and open you to the flow. We got to sink into the allowance of our soul to clear the energy, to allow us to flow, create time just for us to feel calm and peaceful, create more ease in our life. But it took me a long time within this 7 years, not like a long, long, long time, because I was so used to making money. I never been in a position where it was important to learn to receive, because I had got to the story in my mind that I had to make it happen. You see, that story I had in my mind was I got to do it. The story in my mind was I had to knock doors down. What? We're going to go in here. We're going to make it happen. I was so into making it happen that I became the make it happen queen. Anybody wanted something to make it happen, they called you me. One of my best friends, he wanted to meet the alderman to do some things in the city. And they wouldn't let him in, and they wouldn't let him get to talk to the alderman. Oh, yeah, come on. He said, Janine, if anybody can make it happen, can you go in there? So we went in there, and I was talking. Guess what? We were sitting in front of the alderman when we did the event for Africa. It was a big fundraiser, and they couldn't get it together. Oh, come on, Janine, we got to make it happen. I put the speakers together, it was the most beautiful event. Oh, it was so amazing. We had this lady who had been a face of AIDS since the 80s. She'd been on magazines and oh, she was a dynamic speaker. We had the mother for, I can't think of her name right now. She was a big actress for, and she was in, she was Brandy's mother in that series that used to come on. I can't think of her name. Beautiful sister. When I tell you that girl, beautiful. I mean, physically and spiritually beautiful. She was one of our recipients. We had some major dynamic people come. And I sat back and said, look at what God did. Because I had to learn that it wasn't the presence of Janine alone. It was the presence of Janine as God that was filling these things up. And it was learning how to be in the oneness of the gift that I was. And I had to learn how to let go at a cellular level. I had to learn how to allow my soul and my spirit to take over even when I didn't understand what was happening. I had to begin to silence my mind and allow the healing to take place. See, in the process of your body and mind recalibrating, we have to prepare for ourselves to receive, seek in and allow our soul to clear our energy and open the flow and create time just for us to feel calm and peaceful. And, you know, well, let me tell you what began to happen. So, like, that Mercedes that I still own today, the trans, got something going on. So I'm an Uber queen, right? And it's interesting when I go places, because I love Uber. Now people fighting to take me home. I be like, wow, God. I be sitting back. People, literally, I was leaving a place and I had this girl say, girl, Janine, I got you. I'm going to take you home. And somebody else said, no, Janine, I'm taking you home. And this other lady was holding me. She like, no, I am taking you home. I'm like, well, all right. And I was like, but I really don't have a problem being Uber home. And I had to just say, go ahead, fight for me, y'all. Just fight over me. Love me then. But it was learning how to receive. The biggest lesson that I think we as beautiful leaders and beautiful, amazing gifts to the planet, our one thing that we have not, most of us have not got down pat is how to truly, truly receive from the universe. And when we hold on to stress and truly not surrendering, the energy shows up. And so today, in the art of letting go, I want to give you this. Make sure you take time each day to get really comfortable and do your deep breathing, especially when you begin to feel and you recognize. See, sometimes we don't even recognize that the stress is in our body. I don't even know why I did this the other day. I was just looking at different massage therapy. Different people listening to the reviews that people had about this particular massage therapist. And I just watched different therapy of massages. But then there was this one guy, and he was called the Zen Flow Masseuse. And he was so knowledgeable. And he said something that was interesting. He said the feet mirror what's going on in our body. And then the doggone video went out. I wonder what happened. I wanted to know more. But that's what he said. So I was sitting there thinking. And I was thinking about reflexology. And I was thinking about all the times that I get reflexology and reading about reflexology. And I realized that what he's saying is true, because every point in a pressure point in our foot represents some space in our body, whether it's our sinuses, whether it's the heart, the kidney, wherever. And I remember a lady having sciatic problems, and I remember her getting reflexology, changing her diet, drinking more water, just a lot more stuff. And they told her she would probably never walk from that sciatic, but she began to walk again. And now she doesn't even walk with a cane or anything. But I was thinking, wow, the feet are really interesting. So I started studying more about the feet, because the feet truly are a reflection of our body. And you know what's interesting? I've read that we are not relaxed if our feet is not relaxed. So it's interesting, if our feet is tense, there's tension in the body. But if our feet is relaxed, then the rest of the body is relaxed. So that's probably why I just attracted reflexology. I get reflexology twice a month. I make sure every other Friday I go get reflexology. I go on Groupon, I get my Groupon deal, and I go get reflexology. See, I'm in Groupon and Uber Queen. I get me a massage twice a month, and I get me a reflexology, and I grow on Groupon. So you can get a $100 massage, you can get a $200 massage sometimes for like $50, $30, $40, $50, right? I'm the Groupon queen because I want to make sure that I am releasing the stress out of my body. And then I got a gift from one of the beautiful ladies on the line. She sent me her masseuse for my birthday one time, right? And she said something that was powerful when she came in. She comes to your house and you lay everything and she sets your space up. Oh, it was so beautiful. But she said, I want to teach your body how to release lack. I was like, did she read my journal? That's the first thing she said. When she came in and she was getting ready to prepare me for my massage, she said, I want to teach your body how to release the lack of stuff out of it. I was like, wow. Well, thank you, honey, because that's in my journal. So I want you to learn in the art of letting go and surrendering today how to breathe, how to exhale, how to inhale, you know. Feel the support of your body. Imagine you are sinking into deep relaxation as you continue to breathe and remember to allow the body the space for deep healing as you wholly surrender to the presence of love, to the presence of light. Stay very present and begin to soften into the breath. And imagine you are butter melting on a hot skillet and every cell sinking deeper and deeper into complete comfort. And as you relax, relax your eyebrows, your jaw. And if you feel any tension, breathe love and light into that area and let it dissolve away. It's important that we start to release the stress out of our body. Begin to breathe security and support through your whole body and let go. Allow yourself time to just be in the space of deep healing your body each day, and take your time to be present with yourself. And renew and feel fresh. And surrender to whatever's going on in your present moment life. Surrender. Surrender to love. Surrender to the presence of what is happening in your space right now. A lot of times people cringe at the word surrender. A lot of times we cringe at the word of, because we associate surrender with defeat, weak, giving up. But remembering this beautiful universe, spirit, Most High God, and what we really surrender into is the force of love that is us. And when we begin to surrender to the force of love, it's the only way to really release our securities, that sensation, that addiction, that need, that power, realizing that all things are power possible when we align with the soul of who we came to the planet to be. You see, life becomes a playground to dance, to sing, and discover our own innocence, not a mere existence to survive, but to thrive. And see, the difference between surviving and thriving is really a choice, and the answer is yes, but it's yours to make. When we choose to surrender, our temptations to earthly addictions cease. It's like magic, no effort necessary, just a burning desire to know the truth and live the truth and be the truth. You see, truth is hiding in plain sight, but we have to look into our heart. Often we must close our eyes in order to see the truth of who we are. And once we create the experience of peace, we surrender more consistently with grace. We change our perceptions of the world and life, and we experience the miracle that is always available. See, we desire to give because we have it to give, but only to those who are willing to receive it. Love is not an intruder and shines unconditionally with patience, compassion, and understanding. Words do not sufficiently describe it, but just knowing it is more than enough. And so today, to share is surrender. And when you're surrendering, you're not surrendering to defeat. You're not surrendering to the failure.
but you're surrendering to love, the ultimate experience of letting go is surrendering to the divinity that is within you, the divinity that is you, as you. Surrendering to the process that is happening in your right now moment experience. And that's what I want us to do, surrender. Because when we surrender to the energy of love, you let go and you let yourself be alive. And so what I like to call it, surrendering with the capital S to the love with the capital L. You see, when you begin to feel those worries and things that are starting to take over your mind, you lay them down at the feet of love and you stop trying to solve them with your mind. You give love room to step in and to guide you. You see, when you surrender, you give love room, the room to step in and to guide you. When you surrender, you will be led by the strangest and most beautiful places into the most beautiful and amazing spaces. Some people will leave your life. New ones will come. You'll be fired or feel called to quit your job, and you may realize you are not in a loving relationship. Whatever it may be, whatever you feel love is guiding you to do, you will jump in because faith in yourself and love pays massive dividends. Let me say that again. Faith in yourself and in love pays massive dividends. That's a tweetable one. When we are energetic beings and love is the highest energy in the universe, I tell you, I remember when people say love don't pay bills, I call that BS, because when you do what you love, you will go through a phase of challenge, but at the end of that process, if you stick it, you will be so rewarded, not only with the greatest sense of purpose and accomplishment, but with financial reward. Love protects anyone who pursues love. Let me tell you, love protects anyone who pursues love and welcomes love in their life. People change. Economy change. Life can be confusing, but love never changes. Surrender to love today. That's my message. That's my message. Surrender to love. Any questions, comments, concerns, you can press 1 on Blog Talk, *6 on the teleconference line. If anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, any thoughts, anything you want to add, your voice, just anything that you want to say. Good morning.
Good morning. Good God morning. How are you today?
It's amazing. I'm amazing. I'm so amazing.
Yes, you are. I tell you, divine spirit is always guiding you, and I'm so grateful for that. You know, I haven't had the chance to really get back on the Blog Talk, the teleconference, because I've been doing this new job. And for me to run into this message this morning is ideal. You know, with Baltimore County Schools, I've been a groundskeeper, and the shift and doing this new work is so crazy because I'm seeing the leaves fall out the trees, and I'm like, I'm driving a limousine right now, or an Escalade, if you will, and I'm ready to jump out the Escalade to go cut up the leaves because I know the leaves need to be cut out, but I'm not doing that job anymore. But yet I haven't fully surrendered because I haven't told the job that gone yet. And I appreciate this message this morning because I have additional interviews with people from Under Armour next week that is securing the job description that we have put together. And I'm laughing at myself as I'm listening to this because I need this because I need to do the surrender for real. So thank you so much. Cause it's funny. I've seen leaves fall out the tree, and today is the first day I've seen leaves fall out the tree. And it's like there's this strange feeling I have, like, I need to go to work. but I'm not doing that work no more. Wow. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I love you. Namaste.
Okay. Thank you for saying that.
I am honored to do so. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, King. Anybody else got any comments? All right. Well, you've been tuned in to the Love Journey this morning. It's been another Love Journey production. Yay! Woo. So I talked to Tamar yesterday, family, and we talked for hours, man. Tamar is just bad to the bone, baby. She's just bad to the bone. We're going to be having some amazing conversation on the 27th. She'll be here, and guess what it's going to be about? Releasing that toxic love. It's all about healing that toxic love, baby, toxic love. So that's what we're going to be talking about on the 27th. I want you to make sure you're here, and especially if you got some toxic love energy that you're ready to release and heal everything and ready to elevate toxic love healing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what she's going to come to Chicago. She's going to give us a little bit on the line, but then she's going to run it down to us. We got Queen. I keep saying Queen. I must need to call Queen of Four. I don't have Queen of Four coming. I have Auntie Angel, and I have Melanie Nicole. Melanie Nicole is going to tell us, what does God think about sex? Baby, she's going to run it down, baby. When she gets through, you're going to be like, whoa, God, you something more than a notion here. And she's going to give it to us from the Bible. She's going to do a little trivia, and I already know that. I don't know, so I'm just wanting to know who's going to win that trivia, because I don't know what God think about sex according to the Bible, but I'm sure going to learn. So that's what we're going to be learning. Some of you all might know, but I'm going to be taking good copious notes. What does God think about sex? I'm ready to hear Solomon's description of the garden and all this beautiful stuff that she says in the Bible. So she's going to be running it down, family. Then, right after her, we're going to bring in the fellatio queen, tips and tricks. Woo, I can't wait to see what she's going to do. And that's going to be Auntie Angel. She's the pioneer of the grapefruit. If you're a little squeamish, you might need to come. No, Tamar say, then you really need to come. And she's going to run it down. And then we're going to have a little lap dance, family. Yeah, you're going to learn how to do a little lap dance. Yes, with our very own Lakeisha Perkins. She's going to talk about how dance, you know, she's going to take us back to the time when Africans, in the days when we were in Africa, in the Mother Earth, and they created dance to manifest. Did you know they had dances to bring in different things they wanted to bring in? When they wanted more money, there were dances that they did. She's going to teach us about these different movements. And I was like, wow, that's what you're going to teach with Kakisha? She said, yeah, she's going to be running it down. So have you ever thought about dances? Now, it was interesting that I had a speaker come on the Love Journey, and she talked about paying our I-bars, which were invoices for blessings already received, right? And she said before we paid those I-bars, you know, like our light bill gas, that she said to put on what she called a trap song. I don't know if some of you might not know what a trap song is, but, you know, hip-hop, pop, you know, money kind of songs, right? And then she showed us a movement, told us about a movement to make, because then the energy will move through our body. And then, because sometimes we get stuck in where the money energy is, which is our sacral chakra. Isn't it interesting? Now, let me just say this. Isn't it interesting how God created things, right? That the body where the money is in the place where our sacral, sexual, sensual energy is. So she said something that was interesting. She said most of the people who are not having sex probably don't really have no money. I'm like, well, that was one thought. She left me with a lot of thoughts. So, family, I'm super excited about this event myself, because I'm going to be taking copious notes, because I'm definitely wanting to learn the manifestation dance. Come on, baby, teach me that manifestation dance. So that's what's going to be happening. And then right after the wonderful wonderful Lakeisha Perkins teaching us the dance, the manifestation dance, lap dance, all the things she's going to be teaching us, we're going to bring Tamar. So we're going to start off with a little fun. And Tamar is lots of fun, too. But, you know, Tamar going to be getting down to the real hill and gritty. And so I thought that would be a great lineup. That's what we look like. If you want to get your tickets, you can go to Eventbrite, Moon Awakening, and get your tickets today. Don't you delay. Get your tickets today. Yes, yes, yes. And we're going to have fun. And I'm going to tell you, tickets are selling out because we only got a capacity space of so many people. So you want to get your tickets. And you want to get your tickets because it's going to reserve how you get your steam. So get your tickets, get your tickets. Don't delay, don't delay, don't delay. And you should be getting an email from Tamar real soon so we can start setting up appointments for your steam. Yes, yes, yes. Those who want to be steam, steam, steam. All right, family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey. Again, if you got any questions, comments, or concerns, let me know, let me know. *6, teleconference, and press 1. All right. Doesn't look like we got so on. Just want to say again, this has been another Love Journey production, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. I want to remind you to choose love. Love is a choice, family. I want to remind you, don't just dream. Live your God-sized dream. This is Let 'Em In, Whiteness Part 2. Let them make love to your heart, family. All right. Have a good day. You know. Cause he has so much more. Don't ignore.
Have a great, amazing day. And let him in, saints. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in. He's knocking at your heart. Let him in. See you in the morning.